Today with Joseph Prince.
Why are you so concerned about the sin in your heart? God did not promise to remove the sin in your heart. That will happen in the rapture. Aren't you glad God has removed sin before his eyes at the cross? You are looking inside you when you should be looking outside you to the cross. That's why you're confused. You're waiting for a peace that comes from within when God has given you peace that comes through the cross. You are confounding the work of the Spirit in you for the work of Christ for you. Unless you understand the work of Christ for you, you won't have the peace of the Spirit in you because he has come to testify of Jesus. Stop looking within and start looking without. People who come against us, they have the same Heavenly Father as us, but their mother is law. Our mother is grace. And they always want to throw stones at us. But you know what? We inherit. We inherit. Praise God. You ready for the word? Today I want to share with you something that I'm really excited about. And I thank God that we can just take off from this portion of scripture because many of you are really familiar with the story. I want to take this deeper, all right? And it's the story of the dismissal of Hagar. When Hagar left home, once she left herself, all right, the two dismissals of Hagar, I should say. Once she left by herself, the other was she was driven away, never to return. So in both of them, we have lessons. Okay, I want to take this whole thing deeper than just Abraham and Sarah and what they represent. But for the sake of those who have joined us, we must establish this point from Galatians. Are you ready? All right, I'm going to bless you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? So much for, I want to be under law, you know, teaching the law. I think we must preach the law. I think we should teach people the law. Well, those of you who desire to be under the law, Paul says, don't you listen to the law? The law here is the first five books of Moses, the Torah. He says, for it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond woman. What's the name of the son? Ishmael, right? Okay, Ishmael. Help you remember. The other by a free woman. Now, what's the name of this son? Isaac. So the bond woman, all right, that means she's one of those James Bonds. No, that means what? A slave girl, all right? Abraham had this slave girl from Egypt. When he went into Egypt, his sojourn in Egypt, right? When he came out, the Pharaoh of Egypt blessed him with all these riches and all that. And one of them, quote-unquote blessing, one of them was Hagar, the Egyptian servant girl, the Egyptian maid. So she was in the house. And because Sarah could not bear, all right, Sarah went to Abraham and Sarah says, since the Lord has restrained me, now that is a erroneous thinking on her part. God doesn't want any barren woman to think that God has restrained you. All right, he maketh the barren woman to keep house, the Bible says. All right, if you are barren or you've been certified medically that you are infertile or whatever, I want you to know that there is a place in God. If you choose to believe and to follow God's ways, take all the scriptures on the promises that a barren woman will be a joyful mother of children. There shall not be male or female barren among you. Amen. Amen. And read those scriptures again and again every single day. God's word will bear fruit. So she says, since God has done this to me, which is an error on her part, she says, why not you take my servant girl? Perhaps, it's the culture of the day, perhaps I may have children by her. So Abraham didn't complain. Abraham slept with the servant girl, Hagar, and brought forth Ishmael. And when the Bible says, when she found that she has conceived Hagar, the servant girl, she despised Sarah. Okay, keep that in mind. And the Bible says about Isaac, Ishmael, born of the bondwoman, was born according to the flesh, and he of the free one through promise. Whenever you see the flesh in the Bible, it always speaks of self-effort. So Ishmael was born out of Abraham's self-effort. Abraham was still fruitful. Say, wow. Now, here he's saying, these two women are two covenants. Sarah represents grace. Sarah, the lawful wife of Abraham, is grace. Hagar, whose name means flight, because she's always going put the flight. Her name means flight, and she is not the lawful wife, but she's a servant girl, right? She represents, I'm getting ahead of myself, but here it says, which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is as in bondage for children. Remember this word, bondage, is appearing again and again. Whenever you hold on to the law, you will be in bondage. You will be in bondage. And because you are in bondage, bondage includes the curse of poverty, sickness, depression. All this comes because of bondage. That's my passion. I want to push people into freedom, true freedom in Christ. Can I have a good amen? You're never free to succeed until you are free to even fail. But freedom must come. It is for this freedom Christ set us free. All right? So if that is Hagar, Mount Sinai is Hagar, the Jerusalem above. You see, today in Jerusalem, which now is in bondage. If you insist to be under law, even though you're a Jew, you're like an Ishmaelite. That's what God is saying. But the Jerusalem above is free. Amen. Grace is free. You know what it means, free? As contrast with bondage. There is no bondage for us. You live, breathe, walk in, and stand in the atmosphere of grace. And never let anyone rob you of this atmosphere. Can I have a good amen? All right, let's move on. Okay, that's the story of Hagar. And I want to show you the story itself, what happened, okay? Let's go right into Genesis 16, the first dismissal of Hagar. Now we establish Hagar is the law, Mount Sinai. Okay, we understand that. When she saw that she had conceived, when Hagar saw she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. I'll tell you something here, church. If Hagar represents the law, grace is represented by Sarah. There was a time that the law seems to act, all right, in practice, in precept, as if grace is the servant. This first dismissal speaks of, because she came back, speaks of the time of the law from Moses all the way down to Jesus before he was crucified. You know, when Jesus walked on earth, he was actually under the law. He operated still under the dispensation of the law. Yeah, he is full of grace, I know that. But the Bible says he was made under the law to redeem those who were under the law. So for 1,500 years, the Jew was under the law from the time of Moses and Mount Sinai all the way to the time of Jesus. And when did it end? When did it terminate? At the cross. Aren't you glad it terminated? It has been terminated. Praise God. So this is what happened. She despised her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. At first, she's the one that says, go to my servant girl. Now says, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. Okay, so Bible says, Abraham said to Sarai, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. So the first dismissal of Hagar, she fled. But watch what happened when she fled, okay? When she fled, and the angel of the Lord met her. Now, the word angel is messenger. And I know that from this phrase, it is the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate appearance. Next verse. Now, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, now listen to what Jesus says. Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Notice that, submit yourself under her hand. So in the first dismissal, she was sent back. Now later on, there's another dismissal after Isaac was on the scene. And there's another truth right there where she was dismissed, never to return. But the first dismissal speaks of the time period of Moses, all right, and the children of Israel being under law when it was first given, all the way to the time of Jesus. People ask the question, right, Pastor Prince, you see David kept the law. Look, Elijah kept the law. Look, Hezekiah kept the law. Look, all the people of faith in the Old Testament, they kept the law. But have you noticed that in Hebrews 11, none of them was said they kept the law perfectly. By keeping the law, all right, God caused the angel of death to pass over. By keeping the law, Goliath fell. By keeping the law, none of this. It's all by faith. And the law is not of faith. The Bible says. So, in other words, there were two elements during the time of law. Even during the age of law, there were two elements all the time. Law and grace. I should put grace on top. Grace and law. And God always wants grace principle. Law in a subordinate position. Grace is the principal element. And the law, even under law, the age of law, law was subordinate. Jesus is always telling the law. Law, whenever the law tries to take the upper hand, to become the principal rule, Jesus says, get back to your place. I'll give you an example right now from when Jesus was here in Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Now, it was what day? Sabbath. On Sabbath day, they don't work. So what happened is that they don't even pluck fruits. So the disciples began to pluck heads of grain and eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Now, they are right. Technically, they are right. The Pharisees are famous for bringing the law from a subordinate place to the principal place. So that's what they did. But they forgot this one who stands before them, the Son of God, fully human, was actually the angel of the Lord that spoke to Hagar. Return and submit yourself under the hand of your mistress. Now, see what Jesus said, verse 3. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Verse 6. Yet I say to you that in this place, there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, he was quoting Hosea 6:6 that says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. If you go to Hosea, it actually says, I desire grace. Chesed. I desire, the word mercy there is chesed. Where you find David says, praise the Lord for his chesed. Endures forever. Praise the Lord for he is good, for his chesed endures forever. His chesed are new every morning. His mercies are new. His chesed, you go to Israel today, you ask a Jewish believer for his Bible, his new covenant, his New Testament portion of the Bible is in Hebrew. And you ask them, how do you read all those verses that says grace? Grace, for example, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They'll tell you chesed. Everywhere it says grace, it says chesed. Chesed is the word used for praise the Lord, for his chesed endures forever. God is saying, I enjoy chesed. I desire chesed and not sacrifice. Jesus told the Pharisees, you as leaders, if you understood that God's heart is into chesed, into grace, you will not have condemned the guiltless. And they are guiltless. They're not sinless. They are guiltless. All of us are guiltless. We're not sinless. We are guiltless. You understand? Why are you so concerned about the sin in your heart? God did not promise to remove the sin in your heart. That will happen in the rapture. Aren't you glad God has removed sin before his eyes at the cross? You are looking inside you when you should be looking outside you to the cross. That's why you're confused. You're waiting for a peace that comes from within when God has given you peace that comes through the cross. Amen. You are confounding the work of the Spirit in you for the work of Christ for you. Amen. Unless you understand the work of Christ for you, you won't have the peace of the Spirit in you because he has come to testify of Jesus. Stop looking within and start looking without. Amen. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Don't forget, my people are hungry. David was hungry. David went to the Lord. David says, I know We've been running for days from King Saul. He's been hunting us down like a partridge, like a bird in the wilderness. And I'm hungry, God, I'm hungry, and my people are hungry. And the only bread that's here, all right, in the tabernacle is actually the show bread that's meant for the priest. God, I know that one day we'll all be priests. Can you just put in advance or not? What should I do? God said, eat. Because he is the Lord, not the law. Amen. Jesus is the Lord. Okay, last dismissal. After many years, she went back to Sarah. Now, grace. Sarah is a mother. She has given birth to Isaac. The promised seed has come. Hallelujah. Look at this. Genesis 21. Abraham was 100 years old and Isaac was born. Sarah says, God has made me laugh. Look at the atmosphere of grace. A lot of laughter. And all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who have said that to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. According to the culture of that day, a child graduates from milk to solid food. And that day and age, probably in the second or third year. And then they have a great feast, a big feast, all right? Verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing, making fun, deriding. Okay, we stop here. We jump straight into Galatians. Galatians, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he, Ishmael, who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so is now. So there's no mystery. People who are under law will always persecute those who are under grace. Are you with me, church? So what happened is that, go back again to the story. When she saw Ishmael, about 15 years old at this time, Ishmael, he was mocking that young boy, about 2 years old. All right, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this born woman. Okay, sack. Sex, Samadia. Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing Abraham's side because of his son, not his servant girl. You see there? Next verse. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of the bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. That's very important, huh? Because some people say that, who is to say that Ishmael's seed is not part of the blessing or whatever it is, you know, but it's a different kind of blessing. In Isaac shall the seed be called. Let's go back to Galatians, what Paul said about Sarah's voice, okay? Galatians. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Wow, what Sarah said, sack this servant girl, cast out this bondwoman. What she said, the Bible says, is scripture. And the Bible says she wasn't speaking on her own authority. She was speaking in the authority of the Holy Spirit. Cast out the bondwoman and the son. Who is the bondwoman? Hagar. What is Hagar? Mount Sinai. God is saying, throw it out. Okay? Are you with me? So then, look at this. Not only cast out the bondwoman, cast out her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Shall not be heir is a serious matter, you know. You cannot inherit children, cannot inherit health, cannot inherit prosperity, cannot inherit God's promises. You cannot be heir when you have the law with you. The son of the bondwoman, Ishmael, shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You cannot have mixture and inherit. You understand? Okay? So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the... I want to say this very practical. Pastor, what does it mean practically? Law and grace. I'll tell you something. You must be finished with guilt, condemnation, feeling guilty. Even when you fail, you should not be feeling this anymore. Pastor Prince, people ought to feel bad. Let me just tell you this, all right? It's one thing to feel a certain kind of like remorse. It's different, all right? But most of the time, we feel guilty, all right? We feel bad. And then you know what? We repeat that sin. Have you noticed that in your life? When you feel bad, you repeat that sin. Why? Because you've just come under law. So what's happening around the world? When was the persecution? Go back to Genesis 21. We'll close with this. Genesis 21. Look at this. Ishmael persecute Isaac? When? when he was wind. Say wind. Show them previous verse, when he was, verse 8, Isaac was wind. That means what? Live solid food. Hebrews, we'll close with this. Hebrews says, 5:13, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's a baby. You know, the baby Christian, they don't understand righteousness. They don't understand the teaching. They're unskilled in the word of righteousness. That's why they only take milk. They're not wind. So once you understand righteousness, what happens? Like New Creation Church, people find you irritating. Always greatly blessed, highly favored, deeply loved. Number five, number five, number five, hey, number five, hey, praise God. I was born on 15th of May, hallelujah, fifth month, hallelujah, praise God. Yo, grace, man, grace. You know, other church people find you irritating. Always blessing, always blessing. Isn't there a place for suffering? Isn't there a place? You know, you always praise God, I'm highly favored. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Joy of the Lord is your strength. So they get irritated, but they don't understand. You are being weaned. Your name is Isaac, which means laughter. Your church is full of it. So the people don't understand, so they find you irritating. You are being weaned. And you say, I'm under grace, I'm under grace. So they don't understand, they persecute you. They are actually expressing their nature as Ishmaelites. So now turn to your neighbor, smile and say, say this, are you my brother? Or are you a brother from another mother? Amen. Amen. Are you my brother or are you a brother from another mother? Ishmael, Isaac share the same father. So people who come against us, they have the same heavenly father as us. But their mother is law. Our mother is grace. And they always want to throw stones at us. But you know what? We inherit. We inherit. It's never we persecute them. It's always the other way around. And we thank God for that. We thank God we're in a place to bless people. And hopefully people will find grace and realize that the mother they thought is their mother is not their mother. All right? So Isaac and Ishmael, tayong dalawa, the two of them at least, will come to a place where they are one new creation in Christ. And all the people said, give Jesus the praise. Hallelujah. What is prayed earnestly? It's a prayer of command. Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be thou pulled up by the roots, and it would obey you when you command. You must know He is there. It is Him who makes the difference.
Get your copy of Does God Hear Me? Answering Tough Questions About Prayer 3 CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. Join Joseph as he reveals the key to praying powerful prayers and discover why you can pray knowing that God always hears you. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive Make Wisdom Your Number One Prayer Request 3 DVD album and an NKJV Amplified Parallel Large Print Bible. Need help making decisions in life? Learn how you can receive God's divine guidance in every area of your life.
Jesus says only one thing is necessary. He makes life simple. Sit at His feet, spend time with Him. So every time you talk to Jesus, you don't even know what you're doing, right? But you know what? It's always something good. You're able to see things that others don't see.
Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
Wild West, and I didn't care about God, and I wasn't thinking about God, and I saw, at first I was like, who's this man on TV? I was like, what is he talking about? I was trying to kill myself, and he was on TV, and he was talking about a butterfly that fell in some trash. He was like, it fell in the rubbish, but it's still a butterfly. It has to get up and fly. Like, I remember that, and I was like crying. I was like, who is this man? But after that, like, I found this program again. Like, I just started listening to it. Like, that was all I was listening to. God has done a complete turnaround in my life. Like, I'm really walking in victory now, and I'm so happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.